Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You know, I was talking with somebody last week, and I told him, I said, I hate this time of year. Because you have so much that goes on from Thanksgiving with Christmas, people having family get-togethers, and it just seems like that there's just no consistency from one week to the other, not just in church, but just, you know, just generally. It just seems like it just throws the whole normal routine, you know, off. And I just don't like that. But what he said to me, it was, you know, it really shouldn't matter one way or the other, because, in other words, in God, you should always be riding that high. You should always be consistent. Your routine is in God, and it's not dependent upon your situation. It's not dependent on the holiday season. It's not dependent on what people are doing and when they're out and when they're not in, which is absolutely correct. And I have a tendency, particularly this year, to as God has just moved in this church and in our lives, and where my own personal walk with Him and relationship with Him has gone just this year alone, I'm somewhat analytical by nature, and so I like to I've gotten used to that awareness of His presence. I've moved into a place in my relationship with God that I'm aware of His presence. Now, let me make one thing clear. We are not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. You know, and so we don't make decisions based on that. But you also know where you are spiritually. You know when you've allowed yourself to let other things come in and distract you, and you know when your focus isn't where it's supposed to be. And those are the kinds of things that I've been just analyzing and thinking about in relation to my own relationship. And I've noticed some things over the past month or two with some different things that have been going on. I've kind of noticed that I'm not praying in the Spirit as much as I was. Wow. a couple of months ago. What, Wendy?
I've noticed the same thing.
See, Wendy started it, and it somehow affected me. No. You know, sometimes we can allow, the Bible talks about it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Sometimes we can allow little situations, little things come in. We can allow business situations. We can allow family situations. Not that I've stopped praying in the Spirit or any of those kinds of things, but I've just noticed that my routine, my spiritual routine and my relationship hasn't been what it was in some of the things that I do because of how busy that I've been. So how do I address that? Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Because I want to share some things that the Lord's been talking to me about that I believe is specifically needed for this time. In Proverbs chapter 4, and let's look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are or flow the issues of life. Let's go back to verse 20 for a moment. My son, attend to my words. In other words, you need to give attention to the things that I am saying. And more importantly than that, Jesus said over and over, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So I want you to see this from God's perspective. Attend to my words. Attend to what I am saying. Now, we are spirit beings. We have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. We are joined with Him. God is our Father. And so He is talking to us every day. And we've got to be aware of what God is saying to us. If you're not hearing God's voice, if you're not aware of what He wants you to do today, it's not God's fault. We have to take a look at what's going on, identify the mistakes that we have made, and make sure that we are back in a place that we are giving attention to what He is saying. Giving attention to His Word. Now let's go on for just a moment. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. In other words, there's hearing that's involved. You've got to listen to what God is saying. Somebody say listen.
Listen.
The old English King James likes to use the word hearken. Hearken. Heart. Hearken. What does it mean? It means to listen intently with the intent to do what you're listening to. To listen intently with the intent to do it. In other words, you're not just listening and just accepting it and just saying, okay, I went to church and I heard it. No, you're listening with the intent to do. If somebody is teaching you how to cook something, and you want, you know, maybe your mother has a favorite recipe and you want to learn how to do that recipe. You're going to watch her. You're going to listen intently to her instructions so that you can do it exactly the same way. You're not just going to just say, well, Mom, I'm over here at the kitchen and I'm listening to what you say and I'll get it. No, you're paying attention. Glory to God. Let them not, the Word of God, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For that word, it's life. Somebody say life. It is life unto those that find them. And it is health. Somebody say health. It is medicine to all your flesh. Life to those. Your life is in where your attention is. If your attention is on the Word of God, if you're listening to what God is saying, then life is a result that comes out of that. There's healing to your flesh. You don't deal, you know, what happens is as you allow yourself to slip down into and descend into worldly things and just to allow everyday life to surround you and to capture your imaginations and your thoughts and your attention, then what happens is that you start experiencing some things that you don't want to happen in life because you have, in a sense, you've kind of fallen out of that place where you're supposed to be with God, where faith is constantly working. Life to those that find them. Health to all their flesh. Keep your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. Mark chapter 4, and I'm not going to spend the time going through there, talks about the sower sows the word. Where is the word sown? It's sown into the heart. As you sow seed, as you meditate in the word, as you speak the Word of God, as you listen to the Word of God, as you look at the Word of God, as you make that a part of your life where your focus is, you're sowing those things into your heart. Now, you've got a decision to make. As you receive it, do you receive it with gladness? Do you understand it? With the intent to do it. Those that will do what they are hearing God say. And it starts here as you meditate in the Word of God, but there is also Word that comes and revelation that comes as you pray in the Spirit. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks the mysteries of God. You're speaking to God and you're speaking the mysteries of God. And then if you back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the hidden wisdom and that as we speak the hidden wisdom, that power comes out of that. Paul said that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak mysteries. Where did he get that from? Praying it out. You need direction for your life? Pray in the Spirit. It should be a part of your day. Well, I don't know how to pray in the Spirit. Well, talk to me afterwards and we'll get that fixed. Glory to God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, it came to Christmas time. No, it came to pass. Man, are y'all even up with me tonight? Come on. I think that if you'll read this with a view of the season that we're going into, that it applies. Now, it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, understand this. Jesus came in with his disciples, with his entourage, and thanks for that, son. Seth here making faces at me, acting like he's agreeing with everything that I'm saying, and I don't even know if he's listening to a word. But he brings his entourage into this lady's house. Now, ladies, I mean, think about it for a moment. Some prophet of God comes into your house and brings all of his staff with him, 12, at least 12, maybe more than that, and you know, what are you going to do? What'd you say? Jennifer said, cater. I'm going right up the road to Chick-fil-A, baby. They didn't have a Chick-fil-A at the time. So, it being Martha's house, she felt the responsibility to take care of all of them, to serve them. Now, nowhere in this story does it say that Jesus asked to be served. She took it on herself and allowed this burden, if you will, to weigh on her and felt like that she had to do these things. Otherwise, she would not be fulfilling her responsibility, fulfilling her obligation, and people would be upset, and she was afraid of offending people, making people mad. It's the prophet of God. Well, as she is serving, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as she's serving and as she's trying to figure out how am I going to get enough food together, how am I going to get it all done, she gets to looking over and there's her sister not doing a thing except just sitting there, just hanging out with the prophet. And she began to think about it. She allowed, maybe she was jealous that she was over there, or maybe she just absolutely felt like that she was the victim and had a victim mentality, you know, because look at everything that I'm doing. Oh my God, yes, I see that. Look at everything that I'm doing. Jesus, you should be looking, you should be thanking me and expecting that her doing was the right thing, whereas Mary wasn't concerned about the doing as much as she was about listening to the word of God. Sometimes we get so busy with our doing and we think that that's what will get God's attention. That's what's going to cause blessing in our life, that we forget that we've got to sow the seed of the Word of God into our life. That's the first thing, our first responsibility. It doesn't matter what else is going on. It doesn't matter when your family comes together for Christmas. It doesn't matter about all the Christmas presents that you feel like you have to buy. We place on ourselves all of these We place on ourselves all of these responsibilities. It's not really the word, but expectations. That's the word. Expectations, we sometimes define them for ourselves instead of really just listening to the Word of God, being led by the Spirit of God, being at rest. Did you know that you can be at rest during the Christmas season? It's possible, but most people don't. Most people get so frazzled because of what's going on and distracted because of what's going on. Now look at this. Martha was cumbered. The Amplified says Martha was overly occupied and too busy. I'm going to read that again. Martha was overly occupied and too busy. In other words, probably the thought of listening to the word wasn't even a thought in her mind because she was so busy with what she had to do and so burdened with the care of this thing that she forgot that the word is the most important thing. She was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? See, she then tried to put the guilt trip on Jesus. If I feel bad about this, I want to make sure that everybody else feels bad about this too and understands my plight and recognizes what a good job I'm doing of serving and how hard I'm slaving over this, you know, and they just seem to be in there just partying and not even paying attention to what I'm doing. If you are doing what you're doing so that other people will see what you're doing, then you've done it for the wrong reason. We must grow up and move to the place that the things that we do to serve isn't done so that others will give us praise or glory or thanks for the things that we do. Amen. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 6 that if you give so that other people know that you gave, then you have your reward. You will not get a harvest. There will not be anything else that happens. If you fast and make sure that people know that you're fasting, see, then your heart's not pure. If you're saying things, if you're, what did he say? He talked about your prayers. If you're praying, how many of you have gone to family get-togethers and there's the one guy that they'll pick to pray and he'll start out, oh God, forgive us of all of our sins. Every time. Pat, quit picking that fella. Forgive us of our sins. And he'll pray for 5 minutes about everybody and thank you. Yeah, the food's getting cold the whole time. And he's not even praying about the food. And finally, at the end, he'll say, and bless this food to the nurse from our bodies. Amen. And everybody. And look, let's just be honest. I mean, my goodness. Come on, people. We can be real in church. Everybody that's there is like, when will he shut up? There's nobody is in that prayer thinking, man, this is so good. Yes, Lord, I agree with this. So why is it that sometimes people and like that, they pray to be heard. And maybe I can't judge everybody. I'm just saying that you've got those that they want to be heard for their prayers. Well, it didn't rise above their nose, you know. I mean, because they were doing it for other benefit instead of just having relationship with God. Now, Martha adopted the same attitude. Jesus, don't you see what I'm doing? Come on. You're spending time with all of them, but look at what I'm doing. And what you do doesn't move God. What you do doesn't create a blessing for on your behalf. That's Old Testament. That's law. But when you go to what God has already done and receive it by faith, and that's where Mary was. Mary was like, man, forget the food. We got the one with the word of life here right now. Maybe this is the first time that he had ever come through and stayed at their house. What is she going to do? She said, I'm going to sit here and this is my one opportunity. I'm going to soak in everything that I can. I can go a day without eating. You know, yeah, Martha's going to be mad at me, but she's my sister. She'll get over it eventually, but I'm going to get the word of God. Your family will get over it. They will. Make sure that the word is first place. Look at what happened here. Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me, because you know I can't get through to her. Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part. Now, there's another problem that we have. Sometimes we do what we think we're supposed to do and then automatically apply that to everybody else. Because I'm doing this, they should at least bring dessert. So we put expectations on people based on how we live our life, as opposed to just serving. And if they don't show up with dessert, then they eat what's there. And what happens is we'll let offense get in the way because of our expectations that we place on them instead of just loving them for who and where they are. Amen. All right. We'll keep going. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, anytime God says your name twice, it is not for a good reason. You go study that out. Anytime Jesus said the name twice, it was not to give praise. You're about to hear something that you don't want to hear. He says, you are anxious and troubled. That's the Amplified. King James says, careful and troubled about what? It wasn't just this one dinner. This was just one of many things that she had let come into her life, had let distract her. And this was just a symptom of a larger problem. This was the way that she was just kind of wired. She let care and anxiety about everything in her life distract her from the word of God. He says, but there is only one thing that's needful. Somebody say one thing.
One thing.
There is only one thing that's needful. I don't care what happens in your life. I don't care what's going on around Christmas times. It's busy. You got family things that you've got to deal with. You got work stuff that you've got to deal with. You feel like you have to buy presents for everybody out there. You know, you place all these expectations and allow society to place all these expectations on you. But I will tell you that during this time, there is only one thing that is needful. There is only one thing that is needful. There's only one thing that's going to that will keep you in a place where your faith and your trust is in God, so that you know that your needs are supplied for this Christmas season. There's only one thing that is needful that will keep you in a place that you're in peace and that you're at rest and that you're not allowing the hustle and the bustle and the frenzied state that people go through during this time. There's so many people that are just tired of Christmas because of all the stuff that surrounds it and the commercialization around it. We don't have to participate in that. We can go back to the place that one thing is needful for us. I'm not saying don't buy presents for people. You know, I mean, then that would really make things, you know, kind of weird down the road. But what I am saying is don't let that distract you from what's going on or from the one thing that's in that you need in your life. Don't allow that. Don't, as things start trying to come in, don't start trying to figure out, okay, what can I cut out to so that it's going to make me more time? Well, maybe I can cut out Wednesday night, or maybe I can cut out some of my prayer time, or maybe, and don't go to the spiritual and look for those things as the place to start trying to cut out, because with what measure you sow, measure you meet, it shall be measured back to you again. The time that you spend measuring to the Word of God, the time that you'll spend measuring to your prayer time, the time that you'll spend sowing the Word of God, you will reap that time back in abundance. Let us walk in the Spirit during this time. Glory to God. There is one thing that's needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now, turn with me over to the book of Colossians. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. See, we have been risen with Him. We have been made to sit in heavenly places with Him. That is where, in the Spirit, that is where my address is. I'm seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Glory to God. I am seated right there. I am a member of the body. I am part of the body of Christ. And I've been risen with Him far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. Glory to God. And in heaven above, in the earth, and in the earth beneath. Glory to God. That's my position. That's my rightful position. I can enforce that position so that Satan can't come and attack me. I can resist him and he will flee. Now thanks be unto God, who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus, because I recognize where my place is in Jesus Christ. So if you are risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As you sow your time into the Word of God, you diligently seek the Word of God. You diligently seek God. You seek Him first. Sounds a lot like seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. As that becomes your focus, man, supply begins to happen in you. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above and not on the things on the earth. The Amplified says it this way: set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things. But I love that phrase. It's emphatic. Set your minds and keep them set. In other words, where your focus is, where your attention is, what the things that you think about during the day, and the things that you that are important to you during the day, it's up to you where you're going to set your attention. Your attention doesn't get drawn away. Other people don't cause you to move where you focus. Let me use the little Alabama Auburn football as an illustration for a moment. Okay. Auburn's offensive style, what their coach does is they try to employ a lot of deception. And so what you'll see if you watch football is there'll be a lot of, right before they snap the football, there'll be a lot of moving parts, and they'll fake a handoff, and the whole time he'll maybe hold the ball behind his back. They'll do a lot of things. Other people will go behind him, and he'll fake like he's handing off to him, and there's a lot of moving parts. So on Alabama's side, because Coach Nick Saban is defensive in the way that he approaches football, what he teaches his players is you have to have good what? Yeah, it's the eye on the ball. You have to have good eye discipline. In other words, don't allow all the stuff that's going on to move you from keeping your eye on the ball. As long as you keep seeing the ball, you won't get fooled by the deception that is trying to be employed. And as long as the defense can maintain good eye discipline, then they're going to be in a better position to stop the play. Well, I would say that we as believers need to maintain good eye discipline. That while there's a lot of things that would like to, that Satan would like to try to bring into our life, whether it's business related, family related, fellow employee related, Christmas related, whatever it is, that the focus, or not the focus, but that the intent is to try to move your eye off of what you should be focused on. And that when you move your eye and allow yourself to be distracted by all of these things, that what happens is that you stop focusing on things that are above. And it's in the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That what happens is as we set our mind on the things that are above, set our affection on the things of God, set our eyes on the Word of God, listen to what He has to say, that as we maintain our focus on that, then it says out of our heart will flow the issues of life. Glory to God. It becomes healing and health to our flesh. Amen. Amen. So, I'd like for Selena, do you mind playing for a few minutes? Now, I have a question to ask you that I'd like for you to think about over the next week. Okay? Very serious question. And I would like to have some discussion about this. So it's not just a question. Pat, would you come on up here? Because I want you to share what you shared with me yesterday. It's not a question. What? Oh, I will. It's not a question that... a rhetorical question. I really want you to think about it as it applies to you and what your answer to this question is. For most of this year, we've been talking about the importance of the body, the importance of you taking the gospel out, the importance of you doing the works of Jesus outside of this church, okay? And so what I want to know, and I know that some of you, to a measure, have begun to step out a little bit outside of the church. But I would say that, by and large, most of us, or the church in general, hasn't really allowed God to use us outside of this church in the measure that He wants to use us. How many of you would agree with that? Okay, so just me, right? So the question I have for you is, what's holding you back? If you, and for some of you, it may not be an answer to that question. It's like I give 100% every time that I get a chance. But I really want to know, what is it that would keep you from going up to somebody in Walmart and ministering healing to them? What is it that keeps you from sharing and speaking the word of God into the lives of people at the workplace? What is it that holds you back? Now, we could come up with answers tonight, but that's not what I want you to do. I want you to think about it. I want you to examine yourself, because we're going to deal with it. This is not about us keep preaching something over and over and over again, you know, till you finally get it. You identify what the issue is, you deal with it, and you move on. Get it done. Because I'm so excited about what God has for us in 2015. You know, what the Lord has been sharing with us has just been phenomenal. It's just what we see coming is, Jennifer and I get so excited about what we see in the Spirit. And it is about, it's about being doers of the Word and not hearers only. So that's kind of my task for you. Pat shared something with me yesterday that I believe is just going to bless you. It's, you're good.
I'm going to add a whole bunch to it. You know, a few months back, we was looking at, I came up here and I said something about how Jesus took the, He was feeding the 5,000, and he took the fish and raised it up and blessed it to the Father, and then I said when he got it back down, he started distributing it out, and they didn't run out till they quit dividing it up. And I heard a fella say that, and then, you know, just the next chapter over, they fed the 4,000, and what Jesus did. He blessed it, but he thanked God for it. He raised it up and was thankful for it. And of course, they did the same thing. They distributed it out. And I heard a guy say, "Thanking God will change the molecules in whatever you're doing, and they'll multiply." And it did right there. And then another scripture that I heard him use was in Luke 17. Starts in verse 11, where Jesus was walking through Samaria and Galilee, and the 10 lepers was there. And he told them, and of course they must have knew Jesus, because they hollered at him. They was far off, and they saw him. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they must have knew something. And the only thing Jesus told them was, "Go show the priest that you're healed." And then it says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were made clean. So they didn't see it till they went. They went on the word of what Jesus said.
Yep.
Now, you know, then the one guy came back. He fell on his knees and thanked Jesus and praised him. And what happened to him? He was made whole. So that thanking, that thanksgiving changed his body. The mother nine didn't get it. So now, you know, I said that then, you know, and I said, well, you ought to take when you get a check, paycheck, you ought to bless it and then put it in the bank, and then it'll multiply and it won't run out. Well, you know, I ought to listen to what I say. And that was one of them, if you have ears to hear, deals. Well, I hadn't been doing that. And, you know, I live in a real nice house and everything, but it takes a lot to run all that stuff. And if you don't stay up with everything, you can get behind. Well, I was getting behind. And we had some money come in Monday. And I told Jane, I said, boy, I said this at the church about 3 months ago, and I hadn't done nothing about it. Because when them checks are coming in, I went to church one time that one of the 10 things they said was checks in the mail. Well, I said that, and I get checks in the mail. And that's the only good thing that came out of that deal. But Anyway, I went in there to Jane, and I says, okay, one place Jesus blessed it, the other place he thanked you for it. So I lifted that. It was somebody paid on a charge card. And it goes directly in the bank, and I need a bunch of money. Y'all sit around and think you need 1,000 or 2,000. I need like 20 and 30. So it's just a bunch of zeros. That's the only difference. And an alt don't mean nothing unless it got something in front of it. But anyway, so I lifted it up and I said, now I'm going to prove this out. And I told it to Jane. And we prayed. I lifted it up and blessed it and thanked God for it. And that was in the morning, like at 10 o'clock. We went to, this was Tuesday. Yesterday was Tuesday, right? And then we went to the movies. We came back and I said, check's in the mail. I put 3 checks in the mail. Now, you know, you can sit there and say, well, it was coming anyway. Well, it wasn't there until. I mean, I needed it 3 weeks ago. Why didn't I get my lightning fast mind on this? So, now, then those 3 checks came in. So I take those 3 checks, and I thank God for them. I thank God all the time, but I wasn't doing this one thing. I mean, I thank him for everything, every day. You get up in the morning and sit on my porch, you got to thank God. But I took those 3 checks. It was like $2,700. And I thank God for it. And I said, now today, somebody comes to the house, and Jane had to work, I didn't. And she tells me this afternoon, I was fixing to come to church, says, those people are going to bring us $9,000 Friday. Well, that money's already spent. And Jane wanted some of it. I said, sweet, I need it. You got to keep them wolves off you. You know. But anyway, now why did that happen? See, because I did that. Now, you know what I'm going to do when I get that $9,000 check? Every time from now on. See, those 10 leopards went on the word. He said, you keep that word before your eyes. Think on things that are in heaven now. Now, you sit there and say, think on things that are in heaven. What are you going to think? You ain't up there. What good does it do you to think on things in heaven? I'm sitting back there and ask, you know what he said to me? Just what Pastor said, seek ye first the kingdom. and his righteousness. Now, I got a story about righteousness. I got time to tell you.
It depends on how long you're going to go.
3 minutes.
3 minutes.
My son, Brian Daniel Rowe, he understands the righteousness. He understands the kingdom of his daddy. And he uses it. He does. He's had and got and need anything he wants, it's there. And he expects it to be there. That's what God wants us to seek and understand about his kingdom.
Come on.
It's there. That's why you have to renew your... Now, I don't have to renew Daniel's mind to this. Oh, no. He got mama. He grew up in it. He knows the kingdom of Petro. And he pulls on it anytime he wants to. I'm understanding more and more the kingdom of God. And that's where I want to live. That's where I want to stay. That's the only way I want to think. You see, in his righteousness. His righteousness is what, where you have to renew your mind to know you can think that way. It's a way, the kingdom is a way of thinking. It's permission to run something, to rule in something. And you have to know it's there. It's all free. He's paid. It's all free. Is that enough?
That's good.
I'm done.
That's exactly what I wanted. Dad, can you come here for a minute, please? Dad. So, two things out of that. There's plenty of things. Number one is... is while he shared with us something that the Lord had kind of told him, he didn't do it. Just having a revelation of it doesn't mean that it's going to automatically work for you. Just listening to it doesn't mean. Now, again, what did Jesus do? He everything, you know, just the loaves and the fishes. He took what it was, and while the disciples said, it's not enough. Jesus never saw it as not enough. He saw it as supply and then being thankful for it, blessing it. So take whatever the natural mind would say is not enough. And don't look at it that way. Thank God for it. Father, I thank you for this $100 that came in. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I bless it. I bless it. And I thank you that every one of my needs are supplied. And it multiplies in Jesus' name. That's looking into heaven. That's receiving out of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. I just believe that you have something to add to that. See, Dad gets the whole part that every joint has a supply, every service. He says, I always have something, and he's exactly right. Go for it.
Well, you do know I'm God's favorite son.
I got prophesied to in Colorado. It was me.
No. And Mark called me an apostle last week. So I'm trying to figure out what an apostle is, but that's okay. Pat and I got turned on to this stuff over 35 years ago. And we've never had enough. But in all of these 35 years, we've always had more than enough. Anything God's ever impressed me to do, I think, how are we going to do that? I never made a trip anyplace else to out of the country and had the money before the day I went. A lot of times got it when I got there. God's looking for somebody to show himself strong in their behalf. And if you'll keep planting this seed of the Word of God, it'll do things that will absolutely astound you. Now, I'm bragging on the word here. We went to our first Kenneth Hagin meeting over 40 years ago. Didn't own a tape. And I looked at those tapes and just cried and said, you know, if I could get this word, it changed my life. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, well, when you get this word and it changed your life, give them away. We've given away somewhere between 1.5 million and 2 million tapes free, postpaid. I didn't have a tape, didn't have a duplicator, but God made a way. We've given away 3 airplanes. We've given away, as of last week, 68 cars. And when God told me, he said, I want you to be a place of blessing. I was the least blessed person in the world. And every time we've given anything, I had to believe God to get it before I could give it. You know, it's not like I've got millions of dollars in the bank. You know, I've always had less than 1,000. You know, just barely enough to get through the week. Every month had to believe God to make my house payment. Hello! But here's the thing. If you're doing it this way, if you're doing it by the Word, you absolutely are not limited.
Come on.
To anything.
Come on.
It's not based on your income. It's not based on what you can sell. It's based on this limitless supply. And the Greek actually says it this way, Philippians 4:19. And the God of me will supply the need of you according to the riches of him.
Come on.
What Paul was saying is, you know, you've read it, you've heard it. He said, I know how to abound and I know how to abase. What he was saying is, it really doesn't matter how much money I got in my pocket. It doesn't matter what I got in my bank account.
That's right.
God, if we do it the kingdom way, and that's what Jesus did when he said he looked up to heaven. No, he looked to heaven's principles. We are absolutely unlimited as to what God can do if we'll just do it his way.
Amen. 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 Would you stand with me, please? I just believe by the Spirit of God. Let's take a few moments. Let's take a few moments and let's set our minds. Let's set our affections on the kingdom of heaven, on the things that are above. Some of you may be like me, that's had a lot of distractions, you know, and we've had a good many of them over the last week or two, and you know, you can take this moment right now, just as you've received the word. Let's not be like Pat was sharing, and don't just get the revelation of it and then not do it for a little bit. Let's just go ahead and put that into practice right now. Right now. Right now. Just lift your hands towards heaven. Let's just take a few moments just to worship the Father and just focus on him as it relates to our finances, as it relates to this Christmas season, as it relates to every aspect of our life. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I just give you praise. I worship you right now in Jesus' name. Just lift your voices and just start praying. Just start ministering unto him. You are the great I am. You are the great I am. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Father, I focus. Father, I thank you that I've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Father. And I thank you that as I seek first your kingdom, Father, that my supply comes out of that in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that your will is done in my life. And your will is prosperity. Your will is healing, Father. Your will is success. Your will is peace, Father. Father, I thank you for your love. I focus on your love for me. You are the God of love. You are love. And I thank you for shedding that love abroad in my heart. Father, I thank you for my job. I thank you for my income. I thank you. Thank you for my business. I thank you for my customers, Father. Father, I thank you for the relationships that I have. Father, I know that you're the ones that supplied all of these things. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for it. I thank you that it's that, and I bless them. I bless those people that are feeding into my business in Jesus' name. Some of you need to bless your boss, because Lord knows you've cursed him over the past few months. You need to bless your boss. You need to bless the company that you work for. You need to be thankful for it. You need to expect them to increase. in Jesus' name. They should be increasing because you're there. Some of you don't need to be murmuring and complaining about the work that you have to do. Don't be murmuring and complaining about your the overtime that you have to work. That overtime's providing income for you. It's a way that God is supplying your need. You need to check your heart, make sure that you're not complaining about different aspects of where you work. Or don't complain about the fact that it doesn't look like that there isn't enough, or you don't know how God's going to supply the need. No, you need to get into a heart of thankfulness right now. Listen, I'm telling you, we've got to let we've got to let some of this stuff go. We've got to get out of a Martha mentality and turn over our minds to a Mary mentality. One thing is needful. The supply comes out of that one thing. Glory to God. Father, we're so thankful tonight in Jesus' name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Go brakte shikro to sukra mande. Kebro kunde sikra mande sihiki de bukota. Kebrakte shingra mande sikro to sufungi de menge. Dobrenge de shikra ba. De brokto sungre menge de sikra mande ekra mande shikra baki. De la bakata siklo koto sufu kate. Kebrunge de shikro no sikra mande. Ebrande seklo munge de mange de shikla bakete sike. Eyambrenge de shikla mande igle mende. What I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying is that you have disconnected yourself from the supply that comes out of the kingdom through your natural thinking. That because you've allowed your mind to stay focused on the natural and focused on what's going on in the world, that you have not connected with the supply that has already been given you. And so that as you set your mind on things that are above, as you set your affections on the kingdom of God, as you put the word first place in your life and you attend to the word and you maintain that eye discipline, you maintain that focus on the kingdom of God, that right now in the name of Jesus, supply is being released into your life. Things that have been withheld because of where you have kept your mind are now being released into manifestation in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, a wave of supply is happening right now. Receive it. Receive it. And stay focused on the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Father, we receive it now in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your love. I want y'all to get this. This is Father, give me the words. This is an outpouring of his love for you, is what it is. As we look to him and as we believe him, release our faith in what he has already done, as we've stopped limiting him with our thinking here, but now we have tapped into supply and thinking that way, and believe him as a result of that. Now what's happened is his love is being poured out. Connect supply with the love of God, and so will your faith increase. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Well, somebody say amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. As long as it's nice.
It is. Several years ago, Brother Frank kept telling people in the church here, you better not be skipping any services, because I have prayed that Brother Kenneth Copeland will show up here unannounced. Yeah. And he'd been believing for months. My wife and I were on that door back there, and we got here early, like greeters do now. And a car pulled up out there. And so I'm just standing there looking. Lo and behold, it's Kenneth Copeland. I thought, boy, this is really something. Talking about a prayer being answered. Well, I walked out there, shook hands with him and everything. Couple of the guys were over on this door, they saw him and they walked over there. They lead Brother Frank sitting in his office. And these guys rushed in there and said, Brother Frank, you won't believe it. He said, what? Brother Copeland just showed up. He said, get out of here with your foolishness. And he but I asked Brother Copeland, I said, what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. But he said, when the Lord wakes you up at 5 o'clock in the morning and tells you to get to Birmingham, Alabama, to Producing Faith Church, he said, you do it. And he didn't know that Brother Frank had been praying that he'd come here, but he did.
All things are possible to them that believe. Yes, sir.
30 seconds.
Hey, no, this is okay. This is what Wednesday nights are about, you know. I'm not in a hurry.
Left the house this morning, and I had Christmas lights on my mind. So I got to go to Walgreens. Well, I left Inverness, and I drove all the way to Carrollton, Georgia, passing all kind of Walgreens. And I said, no, I won't stop at that. There are too many cars out there. So I came back, got to Pell City, and this is the joke. I said, I want a milkshake. Pulled in Chick-fil-A and got me a milkshake. Right across the street from Walgreens. Well, I'm going to go over there. Got me some lights. This lady was standing in front of me, just so depressed. And our morning prayers every morning is, God, open our eyes, open our hearts and our ears that we see what's going on around us. Well, I was standing there with lights in my hand, and she was just leaned over the buggy. And, of course, my wife would tell me that I will talk to a wall if a wall talks back to me. And I started this conversation on with this woman. And based on what you just said earlier, what makes you step out? What's holding you back? Is your eyes and your ears are open and your heart is praising God, the opportunity's there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with this woman just momentarily. She lost her husband. And before I left, she was calling me sweetie. So,
just lost her husband. Was there a reason why she was calling me sweetie?
But it's been our morning prayer. God, the blessings that you showed upon us, open our eyes and our ears that we see what's around us and turn that blessing around.
Yeah.
And like I said, I passed all kind of Walgreens, but God sent me back to that Walgreens. And I just couldn't. When you said that, I had to mention. But God, if your eyes is focused and your heart,
come on.
God's gonna put somebody in front of you.
That's very good. That's very good. Should I tell this story now? No, I think I'll wait till next week.
No!
It's really for next week, but I'll tell you the story. It won't take me long. Everybody else says 30 more seconds. It's good. Just to prepare you for next week. I had forgotten my computer one Sunday morning. This is just a few months ago. I haven't shared this with hardly anybody. And had to run home, you know, before the service and get it. And then Jennifer called and said, hey, can you pick up? I forget what it was I was supposed to pick up at Walmart on the way. So I stopped by at Walmart on the way. Now, some of you don't know this, but years ago, we had a minister come into town. Most of y'all know this. We had a minister come into town. He wanted to stop by Walmart on the way to the hotel. And when we did, there was a lady that was in a wheelchair a few parking places down that her daughter was trying to help her in into the car. And the guy said, why don't you go invite her to the meeting? And that's just not my personality to just go up to a stranger, you know, and just say, hey, you know, But what am I going to do to the man of God? Say no. So I went over to the lady and it's like, hey, I'd like to invite you to a healing meeting that we're going to have. But I was just being not very bold about it. And he come right up to her and say, hey, mama, what's wrong with you? You know, and just started ministering to her right there. And I'd never seen anything like that, you know, just out in the middle of nowhere like that. And I was like, what in the world am I even witnessing here? That's not the way you do it. You have to get them to come to church. You have to, you know, preach a message. You have to get them to come up at the end of the message. That's just the way you're supposed to do it. So we went into Walmart. There was a lady that had a boot or something and a cane, you know, on her foot. And he said, now, why don't you go minister to her? And I'm like, I can't do that. I mean, God put me face to face with what I believed, with what I was willing to do. I can't do that. I said, so I'm sorry, man. I'm just not there yet. I was embarrassed, but, you know, it was either be embarrassed to the man of God or be embarrassed to the lady that doesn't even know me. And I chose to be embarrassed with the man of God at that moment because he could at least forgive me. So anyway, you know, it's like, I'm weighing it in my mind. So just a couple of months ago. So here I am. I'm in Walmart. And there was a guy in front of me at the checkout line that had that clearly had trouble walking, and had you know, his leg was shorter than the other, and you know, and I thought, wow, you know, church is about to start soon. I'm in a hurry, so I'm just not going to. I just don't have time, you know. Maybe God, this would have been an opportunity for me to do something in Walmart, but clearly I don't have the time to do it. You know, that was my out. And so, man, the Spirit of God just wouldn't leave me alone about it. And here I am. I'm rationalizing why I don't need to be spending time going up to a stranger. Again, even after what all God's been doing this year, and so as we left the checkout line, he went to the right, I went to the left. And there again, that was my next excuse. Well, you know, we're going different directions, so I'm good. And on the way out, God said to me, he said, when are you going to pass the Walmart test? I said, really? I said, yeah, really. It was so strong on me. I said, God, I'm going to be, okay. I'll be obedient to you. And I walked out that door, and I went to, and I looked down to the right, and I saw him getting into his car, and I ran down to the car, and I said, brother, I just see that you have problems walking, and I'd like to minister to you. And, he looked at me like, OK. okay. He didn't care one way, you know, it didn't seem like one way or the other. He said, well, I haven't been in church in a while, and started giving me the story. And so I just started talking to him about the love of God, and I took the time. He let me pray with him, lay hands on him. And I spent some time there. And I can't say that I saw any immediate manifestation. And actually was a little disappointed in that, to be honest with you. I was. Because I expected, for me, and this is wrong, but again, I'm just transparent. I just took a big step. All right, now, God, I just passed the Walmart test. Now you need to give me something because of what I just did. You know, that's where my heart was at. That's not what moves God. Your faith is what moves God. And so, anyway, as I left, I was feeling, you know, I'm headed to church, about to preach, and I was a little disappointed. But you know what? I recognized that what the enemy was trying to do was trying to condemn me, was trying to make me look at what was, to me, I was thinking failure, it didn't work, I don't know, what am I going to do? And the enemy was trying to stop me right there. And I just stopped and I said, in the name of Jesus, I will not receive condemnation. In the name of Jesus, I will not receive that. I said, Father God, I will be obedient to what your word says, regardless. I don't care what people think. I'm past that point. In the name of Jesus, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And we will see the glory of God. In Walmart, in Chick-fil-A, wherever we go, we will see the glory of God. Because it's not about what people think about me. It's what people think about God. He gets all the glory in everything that goes on. And so to kind of back up what Richard was sharing, that's where, you know, it's what has kept you from doing it. And so I'll continue to do it and see. And as a result, all of that despair left, all of it, you know, the condemnation left, and as a result, we continue to see miracles by the power of God. Don't be discouraged, but stand in faith. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, let me just share this real quickly before we leave. It's 8:30, so we're good. Sunday, we will be taking up. If you go to the website, if you go to lifeoffaithchurch.org. There is a list of things that we'll be taking up for the teenagers over there at Children's Hospital. It's all explained on the website right there on the front page, and we're going to take that up on Sunday. We get an opportunity to bless some families for Christmas. Amen? And I'm excited about that. So, what, Jennifer? Baptism, water baptism on Sunday. At the end of the service, and just excited about that. If you know anybody that wants to be water baptized, just tell them to come. Bring a change of clothes, and it'll be good. Father, bless your people. We're so thankful for your word. We receive this word tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Go out rejoicing. Hallelujah.